This is Ron Dallachiesa. One of America's foremost actors, Ed Harris, is currently starring in the new movie Copying Beethoven. The movie takes place in 1825 as Beethoven, coping with his deafness and other ailments, rushes ahead to complete his greatest work, the Ninth Symphony. Recently, I had an opportunity to talk with Ed Harris about what he regards as one of his most demanding roles as an actor.
Ed Harris, Ed, first of all, congratulations on a real tour de force. I've seen you in many things. I've followed your career, Pollock, Broadway, off-Broadway. You do it all. In this case, this was a real challenge for you.
Yeah, it really was. I would have to say it's probably the biggest acting challenge I've had in my career, but that's why I wanted to do it, one of the reasons.
You have to deal with not only a genius, but a guy who is tormented, confronting his demons, deaf, to be deaf and to be able to compose like this, and in the frenzied last years of his life, really.
Yeah, the film really covers the last couple of years of his life, and it's historical fiction in the sense that the character of the copyist that is in the film, who's played by Diane Kruger, is a fictional character. But the music and what he's working on is all very, very accurate historically. I'm a bit condensed time-wise, you know, but other than that, it's all very true.
These last years of his life, really the most fruitful years. I mean, he's composing the Ninth Symphony, then after that he gets into the late quartets.
Right.
And the whole thing really builds, I think, to the performance of the Ninth Symphony, which, and I understand you had to learn all of the aspects of conducting, how to sing the lines to the orchestra. You were up there for like 4 days in this sequence.
Yeah, we shot in a little town called Kecskemét, which is south of Budapest, and we had about 3.5 days to film the sequence. And I had been studying it's the first, second, and fourth movements. I don't think there's anything of the third movement in this 12-minute thing. And I actually think they did a wonderful job of you know, bringing all these the various movements together and making it seem cohesive. So we worked, I worked my tail off with a conducting coach in L.A., a great lady named Sharon Lavery, who teaches at USC. And, the sections that we were going to record actually changed somewhat, so I learned more than actually is on the screen. But, you know, some very difficult stuff. I mean, they have seminars on conducting the fourth movement there and some of that stuff, so it was pretty tricky, but it was really thrilling.
And some of the musicians said, hey, this guy, he said, all right, he could conduct us anytime. Paid your dues learning the craft, right?
The character that plays Schepanzig, who was a famous violinist at the time, who's not really mentioned by name in the film, but he was a concertmaster for the Hungarian National Orchestra, and he actually said, if we do the view of the film in Hungary, he said, maybe you could come and conduct the orchestra, or at least a part of it. And I said, yeah, right, we'll see. I mean, I was really into it for a while. If I had to get up there and conduct right now, I probably wouldn't be prepared to do so,
One of the real intense scenes, I thought, was the scene with you and Diane, that wonderful actress, Diane Kruger, mm-hmm. where you're explaining to her what it is that you're going through, what it is that makes you do this, the intensity of that scene. I think it runs about 3 or 4 minutes, just the two of you. Mm-hmm. And the way it's shot, the cuts, the cinematography, I thought, was amazing, too, in that scene.
I think this film shot really beautifully, Ashley Rowe was the cinematographer. I think he did a wonderful job. I mean, in particularly when we do the ninth, it's all candlelit. I mean, all the scores of all the players, it's candles all over the place. It's quite beautiful. And, one of the reasons that the writers wanted to introduce this fictional character was to give Beethoven someone to talk to about his music. I mean, he was a bit of a recluse at the time, quite eccentric, as people are aware of. But they really wanted to have him voice his feelings about what he was working on and where the origins of it and where it came from and how he felt about it. And so that's one of the reasons this character exists in the film. And I think it does afford him some opportunities to be rather succinct or whatever about what he's trying to do or doing, and with some depth of feeling, talking about music and silence and things.
You know, the tragedy of it all, and you express that, is that you can't. Here you are. You're the genius, and yet you're confronted with deafness. I mean, on top of it all, and the other demons. And then you have a great line in there. You say, "My religion is loneliness."
Yeah, yeah. In response to something that she says, yeah, he says, "Loneliness is my religion." Well, I mean, you know, he wrote the Heiligenstadt Testament in 1801, which was 26 years before he died, where he's basically saying, "I'm losing my hearing, and I know that I'm going to have to basically remove myself from society and just totally focus on my work." And you know, as the years went by, he became increasingly more solitary. I mean, I think he did have a small circle of friends, but you know, he really lived in his head and lived with his music. And one of the things I really admire about him is the will that he had and the courage that he had. He knew he was ill. He knew he wasn't going to live a long life. But he composed till the day he died. I mean, he wanted to get as much of this music out of him as he could, and he did. You know, mm-hmm. I think he really felt a responsibility to the world to some extent to do what he had to do.
You know, we're living through an era where young people, unfortunately, a lot of them don't discover classical music unless somebody takes them to a concert of a family member or a friend. But this movie, I think, can introduce a lot of people to Beethoven, because he is a real guy. I mean, he goes out and he drinks beer with his buddy there, too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just all this ethereal, lonely genius. He's a real down-to-earth person at times with his friends.
Well, I think, you know, as much research as you do, as much piano playing as you do, and conducting lessons and listening to Beethoven's music, ultimately, when the cameras roll, you've got to play a human being up there, because if the guy's not human, nobody's going to give a damn. And I think he does. The Miz is a man with a soul and a heart and human feelings, and I think the character is pretty consistent, and I think that's one of the stronger points of the film, that he is a human being, and you feel that, you know. This is a guy who got up every morning just like we do, and had to do all the things you do as a human being, and yet he was, you know, probably arguably the greatest musician ever walked on the planet. But he was a human being. He wasn't some, you know, imaginary genius. He was a guy, flesh and blood guy.
Yeah, here in Boston, you know, we have the Boston Symphony Orchestra. First year that they performed, the founder of the orchestra said, "I only have one request." It's back in 1883. All 9 Beethoven symphonies have to be performed. And the only name in the top of Symphony Hall is Beethoven. So you're right, he does dominate everything, every aspect of music. Did Pollock before, now you did Beethoven. Both of these gentlemen were geniuses, and both tormented.
Yeah, I think Pollock was probably more mentally tormented in a way than Beethoven, and just in terms of his own psychosis or what, you know, problems that he was having. And I think Beethoven was, I mean, you know, because and Pollock's work deteriorated, whereas Beethoven's
right.
continued until he couldn't do it anymore. Which is a big difference, you know. I think Pollock debilitated himself, and Beethoven fought through his physical pain and his loneliness or whatever it might be, and kept composing.
You know, you've done so many different things in your career. I mentioned the challenge of doing these characters, and also I remember seeing you in a play called Taking Sides, which dealt with Beethoven in a way. Furt Wangler, the denazification of Furt Wangler, and he was one of the great conductors of Beethoven. And did you ever think that you'd be playing Beethoven when you're doing that?
No, I never did. That major, actually, who was in that, you know, who was questioning him, he was totally ignorant of classical music, so it was quite the contrary. So it was a little bit ironic. I ended up playing Beethoven. Yeah. Daniel Massey, we got a kick out of that, who's no longer with us, unfortunately. He was playing Furtwängler in that play.
You enjoy doing theater? You're doing theater now?
Yeah, I'm down in New York at the Public Theater doing a one-man play called Rex, W-R-E-C-K-S, by Neil LaBute, which is going pretty well. It's a pretty interesting piece, I got to say.
One of the things about your career is you're never standing still, and nobody can slot Ed Harris. I mean, you're the type of actor that can do so many different things, so many different challenges. What else is in the works for you as far as film?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I haven't directed since Pollock, but I've got this Western based on a Robert Parker, you know, Cambridge's own Parker, who published this book Appaloosa last year. And it's a Western, classic Western, that I'm going to direct and act in with Viggo Mortensen and Diane Lane, hopefully shoot it down Southwest October, November next year. I'm really jazzed about it, yeah.
That's great. And listen, Ed, congratulations. Tour de force. I wouldn't be surprised to see you be nominated for this one for Best Actor. Everything comes together in this. The cinematography is fantastic. Your makeup, your insight into the character, the way you delineate Beethoven and make us feel the compassion for him, I think is extraordinary.
Thanks, Ron. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you liked the film. I hope people go check it out.
That was a conversation with Ed Harris, currently starring in the movie Copying Beethoven. I'm Ron Delacchese.